Good morning. Hey, we're out here at the sports complex at East Greenwich High School again. And you know what? Already 6 a.m. and the runners and the players, they're already out here. They're out here practicing their sport, doing the work, honing their skills to get better at that thing that they desire to be, that thing that they desire to do well. And you know what? That's why we're here as well. We are out here to practice and to hone the skills, hone the things that God has called us to be. I know that you could be a variety of different places right now. You could be sleeping in. You could be out at the beach. You could be taking a hike at a beautiful place like this. But instead, you have chosen to join together with the other people here at Christ Church, the congregation that God has called together, so that we can practice that calling that is on us as well, as a community, to be God's people, to be the body of Christ. And so welcome. Welcome this morning. And let's get at it. You know, if you were to look out here and you were trying to determine which of the sports that are represented here are the most important to the people of this region, just based on the amount of space that's given to the fields you'd probably start with baseball. They have three full baseball diamonds out here. Scoreboards, dugouts, everything. And then you might say, well, football and track, you know, because they have a stadium, they have a lot of stands, a lot of equipment out there. You might look back behind me and say, you know, lacrosse is in there. They got a lot of space dedicated to that. And then you look at soccer and you go, I don't know. You know, they seem to borrow everybody else's space to set up. You go, I'm not sure how interested they are. They seem to have a few people, but they don't have their own place. I don't know if you know it, but in the world, soccer, without even a close second, is the most popular sport. It's based on whether you look at fan base, whether you look at advertising given to it, whether you look at sponsorships, whether you look at average salaries. Soccer is the most popular sport in the whole world. And it's kind of funny. I think it's become popular because of how easy it is to set up. You don't need all kinds of specialized equipment. You don't need a backstop. You don't need special pads. You don't need a specially like netted stick to play with or a hanging net to dunk into. All you need, you just need a space somewhere. You can borrow it from somebody else, two goals, two teams, and a ball. And that's it, which probably is what makes it so popular everywhere you look. You know, that doesn't mean that because it's so simple to set up that it's simple to play, though. You watch those soccer players, and there is an undeniable skill in what they do. You watch somebody bend a kick that's from behind the goal, and it bends and it goes into the upper corner just beyond the reach of the goalie. You watch a player who's juggling a ball using everything except their hands, which is what most of us are most coordinated with. They're using everything to control that ball like they're dancing with it. You see a player kick a ball across those huge fields that they play on, and he places it right in front of the player that he was aiming at, right where he wanted it. And they're using all this skill and all this control in the midst of flying down the field full tilt in the middle of a game surrounded by this swarm of opponents. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch soccer players with their skills. But we know that that's not where soccer players start, is it? That's not how they begin. I remember our son, Michael, he used to play soccer and played for a while. But I remember some of his first games when he was like 7 or 8 years old. And at that time, you knew where the ball was because all of the players who were at that time all standing about 3 feet tall, and they're just clustered around that ball and just kicking with all their might. They didn't know any plays. They didn't know what a position was. I don't even know that they knew that they had teammates. All that they knew was that they were there, the ball was there, and they needed to kick it as hard as they could. And so every one of them was doing that. But out of those kind of humble beginnings, that's where every great skilled soccer player comes from. But it takes time. It takes investment. It takes patience. It takes training. God's kingdom has always been about the small, unexpected things and how they grow into these large, these highly influential, these just powerful things, whether it's people, where you have like a small shepherd boy who defeats a giant, or whether it's the unexpected and you have this older couple who's well beyond childbearing years and they give birth to a child who then becomes a nation, who then becomes really God's nation. So the one becomes a multitude. the unexpected, the passed over, becomes the king. You know, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed, which is actually the smallest seed that they could think of. But when you plant it in the garden, suddenly it becomes this enormous tree, so big that birds of the air can nest in its branches and the beasts of the field can come and find shade under its branches. Jesus also said that the kingdom of heaven, it's like a treasure. Nobody knows about it. They don't even know that it's buried in this pretty just average field that anybody could purchase. And it's buried there, but the kingdom of heaven is this small, it's this unknown, it's this covered up thing that then God makes great. You know, one that we use, and it's also used in the Bible, an illustration, we'd say it's like an acorn. We're standing here among all these oak trees, and how they start is they start as this small acorn that grows into this powerful, this enormous, this deeply rooted, anchored tree. You know, even Jesus himself, he really came in as a child, as a baby. He was born in obscurity in a place that nobody was thinking too much about. When he was born, he was wrapped in rags. He was laid in a feeding trough for animals because there was no place found for him in any of the normal lodging places. When he grew up, you know, from age, from the time he was born until he was 30 years old, we have one story about him. Nobody knew who Jesus was. And then as he became an adult, he became known, but he was chased after. He was hated. He was harassed. He was then crucified as an outcast and as a criminal. He was thrown into a borrowed and an unmarked grave. But he's the one that God decided to speak and say, you know what, that's my son. He's the one that God poured out his power and raised him from the dead. He's the one that then was lifted up into heaven, rose up into heaven, and took his seat at the right hand of the creator of this universe. The small became the great one. The least became the greatest. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's how God says it has always worked. And I don't know about you, but that's encouraging. That's encouraging to know because like many of you, I don't always feel that important. I don't always feel all that powerful or that influential. Sometimes I wonder, you know, I feel like I'm living my life in relative obscurity at times. Often, who knows what goes on? And who knows what my purpose is or what impact I'm making in this world? But God says that's what he does. He takes small things like you and like me, and he does great things through us. He grows us into great things. That's the kingdom of heaven. You know, that should really change how we think about where we look for treasure, where we look for this. We're on this treasure hunt, right? And it should change where we look for what we expect to find when we find this treasure. Because many times we go and we look in the obvious places. We look to the obvious people, those things that already look great, that look shiny, that look exciting. Instead of looking to maybe some of those obscure places, some of those, we shouldn't be looking for the obvious. We shouldn't be looking for the already immediately great. Instead, we should be looking for the unexpected. We should be looking to invest in those things that maybe everybody else passes by. Those things that are easily passed by, but those things that God says, you know what? I'm going to make this one great. I'm going to make this person great. I'm going to use this characteristic, this aspect of your life, and it's going to be a life-changing moment or event or character-building time for you. You know, Psalm 127 says that God's gifts are like children that are born into a family. This is the passage that was read earlier. God's gifts are like children that are born into a family. If you think about a child when it's born, it's helpless, it's weak, it's completely dependent on its parents. And then even as it's growing, I mean, it's awkward, it's uncoordinated, it lacks any kind of real capabilities or mental capacity to do anything great with this life. But you know what? If you love that child, if you nurture that child, if you train that child and pour into that child, when it reaches maturity, this psalm says that, you know, even if your worst enemy is standing at the door of your house, at your own front door, You can walk up to them with all kinds of confidence when you're surrounded by the fully grown, mature, capable, adult children that have grown up into the great gifts that God has given you, who have now become warriors that surround you and have your back. What kind of confidence does that give you? It says that's what the gifts of God are like. They start small. They start unexpected. But they grow into these great strengths, these great capacities, these great resources that God has given you to bless your life. That's why this psalm says that children are as good as the sharp arrows in a warrior's hand. It says this is why children, it's good to have a quiver full of them. Because back in this day, man, if you were to walk up to a place and you had a whole tribe that was yours, of these fully mature warriors, it's like they were saying that you could hardly fail. You would really have to work hard to have something come against you that you couldn't take on if you were surrounded by that kind of wealth that came over time. That's the gift of God. That's the treasure of God's kingdom. The small becomes great. You know, do you know that God says that we are His greatest treasure? And I can assure you, we take time. We take investment. We take patience. But He tells us that those are the kind of investments that He is most willing to make. We are the kind of treasure, the kind of reward that He is most interested in. That we are the ones that start out as small, the small things that it takes that time and that investment and that pouring into. But then because of the greatness that comes out, He says, we're His treasure. We are the small things that become great in time. The children, we're the children who become the soccer stars. We're the infants that become the warriors. We are the humble, the broken ones, the imperfect ones that become the very children of God, that become the very ministers of His grace to this world, the very ministers of His power to this world. In His name, on His behalf, on behalf of the kingdom. But how many times do we miss the opportunities that God has in front of us? The opportunities that actually are His treasure because they don't look so great. They don't look like much to us. Because they look like they're going to take too much time of ours. They're going to take too much of our investment. They're going to demand too much patience on our part, whether that's a person, whether that's a characteristic God is trying to build into our lives, whether that's an opportunity that we have to do something that's right, to do something that's good, to do something that's just. But we say, nah, too much time, too much investment, too much patience. And because of that, we miss the opportunity. We miss the treasure of God. We live in an instant society. You know, we live in a society where we have microwave ovens where in just seconds, we can heat whole meals. We live in a place where in just a matter of minutes, just a matter of maybe an hour, you can go in and you can get a loan or you can apply for credit that makes you instantly look and feel and you can act like you're wealthy, like you're well off, like you're secure. We have instant, that's why this COVID thing, that's why it bugs us. It drives us nuts. Because pandemics don't work on our timetable. They don't keep up. They slow us down. A virus, it doesn't care how long it's been since we last got to go out and have a good meal out with our friends. It doesn't care how long it's been since we were able to gather together as a group at the church and sing without masks. It doesn't care. It's going on its own timetable. And through this thing, it's like we are forced to slow down and we hate it. We want a vaccine, we want a fix, we want it now. And we're used to getting what we want pretty quickly. We're used to going into a place and knowing that the customer's right. And we're like praying to God, we're saying, okay, we're your customers. Are you listening? Because if you're not listening, maybe I need to take my business elsewhere. We don't realize in doing these things, we're missing the kingdom opportunities. We're missing actually sometimes the very treasure of the kingdom of heaven, the treasure that starts small. And then grows great with time, with investment, with patience. These are the necessities of the kingdom of God. We need to pay attention to the things that aren't that obvious. We need to pay attention to things that might otherwise be overlooked by many. Because the gifts of God, they're the small things. The things that start out small, just insignificant, obscure. But then he grows them into great, into influential, into life-changing, into history-changing events and people and character in our own lives. I want you to take some time right now to just stop and think, stop and consider, kind of survey the landscape of your life and look and say, where are maybe some of those small, those hidden, those less noticeable type of opportunities that God has in your life right now? Where are those places that maybe you hear his spirit kind of nudging you and saying, you know, you need to pay attention to this, but when you look at it, there's not that much to it, so you immediately kind of move away, you move on. Where are those things that maybe God wants you to pour into with some time, with some investment, with some patience? It may be a habit that he wants you to invest in. It may be a new skill or character trait that he wants you to build in your life. And I know I've talked about this one a lot, but part of it is because how essential it is, how crucial it is to everything else that builds on it in terms of our spiritual lives. But maybe he's saying, listen, you just need to really pour into your relationship with me. You need to pour time and investment and patience and building into that small thing called that relationship with Jesus. Spending time with me in my word, spending time just walking with me through your day, listening, talking to me in prayer, not just throwing up those things you need when you need them, but really just being with me, listening, being shaped by me. You know, some of you are so busy right now. Some of us, we get so caught up in those things that seem to be the obvious gifts of God. You know, we live in the state that you go out and there's the beach and there's the forest and you can go hiking and there's friends and there's good food and there's fine wines and there's all these things that immediately catch our attention. And yet sometimes chasing after all of that, it still comes with this kind of gnawing inside, this emptiness, because we're not actually filling this hole that's inside of us that was made not to be filled by these things, but to be filled by that presence of God, that friendship with Jesus that he has invited us into. You know, but a lot of times we'll look at that and we'll say, that's not that big of a deal. I can't brag about that to my friends. My friends won't be impressed by the fact that I walk with Jesus. They may not even understand it, but that may be where the kingdom of God is found. That may be where that life-changing, growing treasure of God is going to be found. Maybe it's in finding and investing in other people, and maybe it's that investing in that patience that comes from actually learning to see other people with God's eyes instead of just ours. We get frustrated with people because they don't do what we want them to. They don't play by our rules. They don't help us get to our goals sometimes. And so we get frustrated and impatient. And patience really doesn't just come from biting the bullet and just gritting our teeth and putting up with people. Most of the time it comes from this deep place of where we look at people and we see in them that potential that God sees in them. We see that beauty that God has created in them. We see that calling that's on their lives that God has put on their lives. And so like God, you know, when God describes who he is, we saw this several months ago, probably over a year ago now, we saw that one of the main traits that God says about himself is when we frustrate him, what does he do? He takes a deep breath and then he dives back in with his compassion and his investment and his intention, his faithfulness and his kindness. How do we develop that? Well, we develop that by learning to see people differently, to see people like God sees them. And then there's this enormous reserve of patience. It's not a chore for us anymore. It's just a trait of who we are as we continue to invest in people and draw them closer and we begin to help them. We don't only discover the treasures of the kingdom. We find that we've helped them discover these treasuries that God has invested in them, that he's poured out in them, and the small becomes great. And they become those who change the world because their lives are changed as they discover this treasure of heaven. or maybe it's finding that deep joy and satisfaction that comes from true generosity, not reluctantly giving, but generously just saying, I can't run out because my God backs me up. And there's nothing greater I could invest in this cause or this person or to see God at work. You know, these things take time. They take time to build and to discover. They take time. They take investment. They take patience. These are the traits. These are the habits that start small, but then grow great, changing lives, changing our own lives, changing history. You know, the other thing is maybe God's calling you to invest in a project, in an activity, in a community of people, in a way. You know, I got to tell you that during this time, God's church needs God's people to step up and to reconsider how they priority this work, this project called the Kingdom of God that God is about. We at Christ Church, we need you, if you've been called to be a part of this community, be a part of this project that God has going on here in the Central West Bay, we need you to step up. We need you to consider how God might have you invest your life and your skills and your energies and your effectiveness right now in this work that God is doing. Because right now we're facing things we've never faced before. We're seeing churches that are literally folding every day because we're trying to navigate waters that no one has been in before. We're trying to make up new ways of doing the same things that we've been called to do, but do them in completely different ways. And we need a lot more, not just manpower to do it, not just woman power to do it, but the brains, the creativity, the thinking of saying, hey, why don't we try this? We need that inspiration that God has given to you of saying, hey, we could maybe try this to get at doing this thing that we've been called to. This, you know, this virus is not going away. And its presence has fundamentally shaped and reshaped everything we do. We're seeing that it reshapes our schools. It reshapes our jobs. It reshapes our economies. It reshapes our relationships. It reshapes how we do birthday parties. I mean, it reshapes everything. And it reshapes church. But the other thing that isn't changing either is that the call that God has on us as his people, that's not going to go away either. Even in this time, with all of his challenges, this hasn't been given to us so that we can take a vacation, right? This time hasn't come in so that we could just kind of check out and then we can say, hey, I'll wait till this is over. Then we'll get back to the stuff that either God has called us to be in our lives or God has called us to be as his church. No, we're still called to show God's compassion and to bring the message of Christ to those who don't know him yet. We're still called to come alongside of each other in love and in care and in connection to make sure that as a community of people, we're well connected and that there are none that fall behind. That this is this big, like, safety net of God's people. We're still called to find ways that we can together come into God's presence and bring him just the thanks and the glory and be shaped by just that engagement that happens when we worship him. We're still called to be those that take on God's word and listen to his spirit and are fundamentally just transformed in our lives through discipleship and through his kind of his renewal and through teaching and learning. But we have to learn how to do those things in a completely different way now, because of the ways that our world has changed. And we need each one of us, every one of us, to invest in new and different ways. So the question is, ending up, how has God called you? How has he called you to invest in this project called the Kingdom that's happening, this piece of the project that's happening in and through Christ Church and through this community? And some of you might say, well, I don't think he has. Well, I would say if you don't know how God's called you, you're not hearing him yet, because he's calling every one of us. When he called us to Jesus, he called us on board in this project. Maybe he's saying, you know, maybe he's saying, why don't you try out being a part of this tech team? You've never done it before, but as you look at your capacity and your capabilities, maybe you'd be good at it. Try it out. Get in touch with BJ. Maybe he's saying, you know what? I'm good with people. I could facilitate a community group or one of these like micro communities where we set up and we pod with some people and we say, hey, we're going to worship together and be like a mini version of the church, so that we can be that together. We can take care of each other. We can worship together. We can keep track with one another. We can have that contact and that care with one another that we need as human beings. Maybe he's saying, you know what? You have the space. You have the resources. Open your home. Open your home. Let it be a host. Let people come in and not just everybody wandering through. Or maybe you're one of those that says, you know what? I would love to be one of those people that, as there are those who are isolated, either because of age or because of threat or because of their immune systems are compromised or because of health issues or whatever the reason, or maybe because they're singles and they're living in this area, but they have no family, they have no real network of people. Maybe I can be one of those who just says, I'm going to adopt this person, these people. I'm going to adopt them, and I'm going to regularly be showing up at their door. I'm going to regularly be just spending time through a door, through a barrier, but spending time in prayer, letting them know that they're loved, that they're cared for, not just by God, but also by us, by this church, this community that God's called together. But what are those things, maybe that those obscure, those unexpected opportunities that God has put in front of you, that he is calling you into, so that we might step up and be even better, be the body of Christ that he's called us to be during this time, this completely new, unknown, unexpected time. You know, on the Instagram post that I posted this last week, I said I really believe that we are on the cusp of, on the very threshold of a revival. And I don't mean revival like we've seen it before in the past. I don't use that word very much. I really have never said that in my preaching. I've never tried to get people fired up that there's a revival coming or something like that. I just mean this renewal. I really believe that we're on the threshold of this new work that God is doing. And I really believe that it's not going to be for those who just want to sit on the side of the road and watch. The moves of God have always started with those who put themselves right in the middle of what God's doing and saying, hey, I'm available for whatever you need. And who align their hearts with what he's about. They keep their eyes open for where his opportunities are. They invest themselves in the small things that God is making into the great things that change the world. I think that's the call that's on us right now. I think that's what we need to consider. What are those things? What are those places that God is calling me? Because the kingdom of heaven is always made up of those small things, like the mustard seed, like the acorn, like the child that grow up into the great things that God grows into through time and through investment, through patience. Things like you, things like me. Father, thanks so much for your faithful, relentless care and attention and focus on us in that tireless way that you call us, gently call us to be invested, not in the big things that make a lot of noise, not in ways that you demand our attention, but with that still small but incessant voice, that small but incessant gnawing that is inside, that there has to be more. There has to be more. That spiritual hunger that we feel that draws us to you. Father, help us to pay attention to those voices, to those hidden voices, those voices that don't demand our attention, but those voices that we can't ignore them any longer. Help us to find the treasures of your kingdom and to spend the time and the energy and the investment and the patience and the resources to see them grow, and to see you grow them in us and through us, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done, that your name would be lifted up, that your glory would be found on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we pray these things for your glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our best friend. We pray these things in the name of the Holy Spirit who lives in us to empower us to do these things, these amazing works of the kingdom of God. Amen.